Welcome to episode 21 of All the Small Takes. We are back on this Monday night. John from Mississippi, Cooper and I on the heels of a bachelor party weekend, which we're going to get into a little bit later. But guys, how are we doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
I've been better.
Physically, mentally,
emotionally,
grammatically,
spiritually,
grammatically.
Yep.
Everything. Just coming from that gross, awful city of Chicago, and then knowing that I have to do that again in a couple of days is just, it's taking a toll.
Well, thoughts and prayers to Cooper.
Mm-hmm. Hashtag first
come back to a summer job of waking up at 12:30.
I know. It's rough.
So you can find All the Small Takes on social media, Twitter at Small Takes, Instagram small_takes, Facebook All the Small Takes, and Gmail allthesmalltakes@gmail.com. Soon you might be able to find All the Small Takes in some other places. We'll leave that there. But
keep a weather eye out.
Yeah, keep a weather eye out. I think you guys are going to like what you get here in another couple weeks or so. But right now, we've got a lot to talk about on the podcast. U.S. men's national team. We've got NBA offseason, checking the pulse on John and myself. And maybe Cooper, too. I don't know. We got our first ever guest. The first ever guest in the Small Takes history, which we think you guys are going to like. And then we've got a fire four. So we'll get right into it with the U.S. men's national team, who played in a Gold Cup qualifier.
It was a Gold Cup group stage match.
There's too many cups, man.
There are too many cups. Especially like cups that mean like absolutely nothing in the grand scheme of things.
Does this mean something? Nothing?
There's like two cups.
What does any of it mean?
This is a pretty meaningless cup. We're playing like our B+ team, essentially.
It's not meaningless. This is our Confederation Cup. It's the cup it's CONCACAF's cup.
Yeah, but that would be like our Euro Cup.
Yes,
the Confederation's cup. It's
the cup of our confederation. That's what I meant.
Okay,
confederation is CONCACAF.
Sorry, it's a little play on words. I got it now.
Yeah,
okay. I'm more confused than when we started. All right, so the U.S. men's national team, they drew 1-1 against Panama, right?
Yes.
Gut reactions. Is this a disappointing result? Good result?
Okay, yeah, this is pretty awful. The only bright side is that Dom Dwyer scored, who I'm starting to become a huge fan of. And I would be really nice to have another striker going into the World Cup next year. But whatever. It's sorry.
The bachelor party weekend.
I know. So rough. Anyways, it's game one. They have three more. The top three out of the four in the group pretty much make it out. It's a little – that's not as straightforward as it just sounded. But we're not out of this tournament. We're going to advance. It's just disappointing to tie Panama.
Yeah, it's disappointing to tie to Panama, and I think we haven't beaten Panama the last four times we played them, which is not good. We need to beat them. We need to do it soon. We play Martinique next, and you know, you get bonus points if you can point out Martinique on a map. We have to win that one. If we draw that one, bad news bears.
Bruce Arena should get fired.
Fire. Yeah. Is Bruce Arena on the hot seat?
No. On the hot seat. Let's get rid of him. Let's hire Charlie Weiss. Let's do it.
All right, I think that's really all there is to be said about that. When's the next U.S. men's national team match that matters?
Wednesday.
Against?
Martinique.
We just did that.
It's okay. You probably, like most of our fans, just completely blanked during that whole entire soccer combo.
Okay. Let's talk about the NBA then.
Okay.
We'll start with John and your Sixers, who, it wasn't the best weekend, I would say. Markelle Fultz sprained his ankle, all the optimism. I wouldn't say the optimism seems like it's kind of gone, but I think there was a lot of it. And it seems like this was like a reality check for the Sixers fans. So how are you doing mentally?
Well, I mean, it's not an injury because he's playing at full strength. You know, there's injured and there's hurt. He was hurt for a little bit. and he's going to play through it because he can play, because he can walk around. It's fine. This doesn't hurt. This doesn't upset me at all. He's a basketball player. You sprain your ankle sometimes when you play basketball. And yeah, it's going to be fine. We're going to still be a playoff team this year. We're still going to win however many wins I said we would win earlier. not going to double down on that one. But I don't know. Yeah, I don't. It's summer league. Who cares?
So with the guy, he got taken off the court in a wheelchair, right? Like, were you watching, or did you, like, when you saw the Twitter alerts, wasn't there, like, a little bit of panic that creeped in?
Well, there was, like, this sounds familiar.
yeah, that's what I was about to say. It wouldn't have been a 76ers draft pick if he didn't have some injury problem.
He didn't have an injury in summer. Like, it's a tradition. Ben Simmons probably told him about it before the game. You know, I'm sure
Joel.
Well,
that's not true, because Ben Simmons isn't at the summer league.
Right. No, he's not, but I mean, like a text, you know, maybe a quick Skype call. Yeah, it's like hazing, except you hurt yourself and no one else is involved. So
yeah, but don't the 76ers have this issue where they just don't really let their rookies play hurt?
No,
like, well, Markelle Fultz looks like he's 100%. He's walking fine, but he got this boo-boo in, you know, July. He can't play this season.
Called the Derrick Rose.
We let Joel Embiid play through like where he tore one of his knees open. And we said, it was just like a knee sprain. It's fine. And we let him play 10 more games. And we were like, oh, wait, no, this is not good. So I wouldn't worry about like overprotecting Markelle Fultz. No, I don't think that's an issue at this point.
Do you want to put a win total on the Sixers right now? Because I don't remember if you did or what you did.
Give me a second. How many games are there in an NBA season?
172.
162, right? Yeah, 162.
There's 82.
82?
Last I checked.
Yeah. Okay, I get confused between 82 and 84. I keep wanting to say it's 84.
There's 84 postseason games? I don't know.
We did that. We counted that out.
We did.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say the Sixers. So we won 28 this past year.
54 gets you the first seed or something like that.
Oh, I know. I'm looking at the standings. 54 gets us the first seed. I think we're going to win 43 games this year.
Mm, just a touch over 500.
Well, that would put us at the 5 seed.
Yeah, so, and that's probably going to be like a 3 seed in next year's East. So
yeah, no, I think realistically, I don't know what our win total will be. I think we are at this point with what's happened to the Eastern Conference. I think we are a 7 or 8 seed. All right. That's what I'm looking for. I don't know what the win total is, but I think 7 or 8 in the playoffs.
All right. You want to talk about the Celtics now?
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, the Celtics are garbage. You want to talk about the Celtics?
Yeah. How are you feeling?
Not great. I'm going to be honest.
Gordon Hayward doesn't excite you?
He excites me.
He's the great white hope.
I feel like I've heard that about other Celtics players.
I'm going to leave that. Yeah.
It's a little bit of a trend.
I'm just going to leave that where you put it. The Avery Bradley departure sucks.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Let's get to that later.
Well, why? No, because I think I'm totally fine with Jason Tatum. He's looked great in summer league. I'm totally fine with Gordon Hayward. He's a very, very good NBA player. But when you trade away your best on-ball defender, when you're trying to compete in a conference that has one of the best one-on-one players this league has ever seen, like, I don't really understand the logic there. And the return, it would be one thing if the return for him was justifiable, but Marcus Morris is not a guy who can I would have rather them kept Kelly Olynyk than trade for Marcus Morris. They're basically the same player.
But here's the deal. I think the Celtics were rewatching tape from the Wizards series and just remember Olynyk getting completely just trashed by Kelly Oubre, and they got a little scared. So they're trying to end this brawl between the Wizards by bridging a gap between the Morris brothers.
Okay, sure. I don't know. It just feels like there's an opportunity right now in the East. You have Jimmy Butler gone. You have Paul George gone. The Cavs are basically the same team they ran back last year, which is good, but like not like they're an injury away from being very beatable. And even then, without an injury, I think the Celtics with the addition of Hayward could be competitive. But I hated seeing Avery Bradley go because he's a huge piece of like the equation of beating Cleveland.
Yeah, I think the Avery Bradley trade is, I don't know. It was very forward-looking on the part of the Celtics. I kind of get the maneuver, but I don't know. Doesn't make sense if you want to beat the Cavs now. I think Kyrie Irving's come out many times and said that Avery Bradley's the toughest defender in the league, the defender he doesn't like to play against the most. It's pretty easy to look up Avery Bradley, Kyrie Irving highlights and watch Avery Bradley defend Kyrie pretty well. Yeah. And so you just basically put Isaiah Thomas on Kyrie Irving. Well, I just don't. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think the whole
thought of that. Well, go ahead, John.
I think the whole forward thinking thing is really like, is really pertinent here, because you know, we saw this earlier where the Celtics, you know, decided to take their draft picks and play for a post LeBron era. And I think it's happening now again, where you're getting rid of one of your best defenders and you have Isaiah Thomas left. And I think it's clear that Isaiah Thomas is not the building block for this future team. It's not who Danny Ainge thinks he's going to be building around. And I think Gordon Hayward, for whatever reason, is.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if Isaiah gets his Brinks truck, which he's expecting next summer.
I mean, he's going to get paid next year, which is why, like, it wouldn't have been the worst thing in my mind if they drafted Fultz and then looked to move Isaiah Thomas. But I'm okay. Like, Isaiah Thomas, if they give him max money, I think he's earned it and he deserves it. And you can cover up for a lot of his faults on defense with the right team. But by trading away Avery Bradley, I think they gave away a big part of their ability to do that. Mm-hmm. Anything else? Celtics, Cavs, Cooper, any thoughts on the Cavs? They haven't really done anything. They actually haven't done a single thing.
No, they are doing absolutely nothing, which is still good. I mean, the Cavs are still a good team. So we're just, and everyone's just running away from LeBron. Like, he's Godzilla.
You made Carmelo's fire two of teams he'd play for.
I know, which that's always super. you know you're doing something right if you can get Carmelo to opt out of like $50 million.
Would you take him?
No.
Snap decision, would you take him?
No. Oh my gosh. If the Cavs do anything in the realm of trading Kevin Love for Carmelo Anthony, I think I'm just going to burn my Cavs jersey.
John, would you take Carmelo on the Sixers?
No. We have J.J. Redick. Why do we need Carmelo Anthony?
That's like that.
If I can get – hold on. If I'm the Cavs and I can get Melo without trading Love, I'll do it. Because at the end of the day, Melo's still a good player. He's still probably one of the he's a top 10 scorer in the league. And I think playing on LeBron might incentivize him to actually play with a little bit more effort. And so, yeah, no, I'm not like running away from Melo entirely. But if the Cavs can't trade Kevin Love for Melo, that would – I think would be a very dumb mistake for the Cavs.
I'll take that back. If we could get Carmelo and have him be good on the Sixers, that'd be hilarious. If, you know, he totally tanked the Knicks and we could win with him. I would love that. That'd be great.
No, you should have stuck to your guns, because I think I like being the only podcast in the world that's ever compared Carmelo Anthony and J.J. Redick as peers.
Mm-hmm. It's great.
Comparables. Those are comps.
How much is Carmelo making this year?
Like, I mean, he's still on his like 5-year 120, so like $25 million, something like that.
Hey, J.J. Redick's making like $22 million, so
exactly.
Pretty
we're gonna
close.
Get in some, we're gonna get in some contract talk here later, so we'll save that. We'll go now to our interview, first ever All the Small Takes interview with one of our good friends, and here it is. We now welcome on the first ever guest on All the Small Takes, former star athlete at the University of Notre Dame, Boston resident and future Boston correspondent, and bachelor party connoisseur Connor Brandt, joining us live from Boston.
I wouldn't say star athlete. It's a bit of a stretch.
You're wearing some issue gear right now.
Yeah, don't sell yourself short.
Okay. I do have some issue gear on.
So, yeah, tell the folks a little bit about yourself, Connor.
Well, I went to school with these three guys. Avid listener of the show. I actually listened to three episodes today because I wasn't a month behind. But
you managed to listen to like 90 minutes of us?
Yeah, I got two in this morning at work before things got moving, really. And then one while I was on the bike at the gym. So, yeah.
That's what we're doing, motivating people to exercise.
Yeah, but yeah, I'll be the Boston guy. I can't say I can be as much as a homer as Jeff is, just because like I'm not really a Red Sox fan. It's more just like Patriots and Celtics.
Tom Brady?
I'll do my best. Yeah, I love Tom Brady. We can talk about the hat if we need to at some point.
But. I'm sure the hat will come up here in the course of the conversation.
Yeah,
and Boston will come up later too. But as we also said, you're a bachelor party. Would you call yourself a bachelor party connoisseur?
Maybe not connoisseur. I just like to entertain.
And so we were at a bachelor party this past weekend, Cooper, Connor, and myself in Chicago, the beautiful city of Chicago, which Cooper loves so dearly.
No, that city's awful. I hate Chicago. The whole thing about it, the people, the infrastructure, just everything that was ever done or made in Chicago is pretty much awful.
Let's take it easy there.
Sorry.
Sorry.
It's a little strong.
One of our highly valued listeners who has left a review on the podcast, shout out, leave reviews, lives in Chicago. So I'll step up to bat and say Chicago's not a terrible city. Right. It did not make anyone's Fire Four of worst sports cities.
That's true. Maybe not an awful sports city, just an awful town.
Yeah.
Yeah, because parallel parking isn't a sport. If it was, Chicago would be the worst sports city of all time.
Or just driving through red lights when someone's trying to take a left, or just like all these just fun things, like courtesy while driving a car. Just like completely absent from that city.
Well, anyway, we're going to get into maybe a little bit of Chicago. We want to do a Dope or Not, which is a segment we've done before, a bachelor party themed. And we're going to run through a handful of bachelor party activities. Connor's coming into this completely blind. His reactions will be genuine.
That's great.
We're doing it live.
All about that.
And so we're going to start Dope or Not. And this is actually applicable to our good friend John, because John is getting married here in a short time, December.
Oh,
yeah.
And so some advice maybe for you or your best man planning the bachelor party, we're here to give it. And so we'll start with sporting events, Dope or Not for bachelor parties, just going to sporting events. We'll start with Connor, the guest.
Thrown at me? Okay, right away. All right, so we're just going to go knee-jerk reaction here. So it depends on what kind of sporting event it is. Like, I'd say if you get real exotic with the sporting event, dope. Major sporting events are probably, I'm going to go not dope because they've been overused.
What is exotic?
Yeah, please.
Just something
are we talking like dog fighting here. Like,
I was thinking like ostrich racing or something like that. Real
Mikey right there. I don't know, like something that's like just a little less than professional, like, I don't know, like arena football. Like, okay. That would be lit.
I can't name a single city that supports arena football.
Like the Philadelphia Soul or the Mississippi Fire Dogs?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
See, there you go.
Wait, John.
Bang, bang.
John's bachelor party is going to be in Mississippi. Adam just...
Oh, the Fire Dogs, they don't exist anymore. Yeah.
All right, P&P. All right, Cooper.
Dope. Keeping it simple. Dope.
All right, John.
Yeah, dope, especially if they're to a minor league baseball team like the Biloxi Shuckers or the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp.
Oh, I can throw minor league baseball in there with exotic. As long as it's just not professional, I guess. That's my definition of exotic.
Yeah, as long as it's not going to a Reds game, right?
So Tim Tebow is playing in the baseball league right now.
Dope for me. Mainly because I got to fulfill a life dream this weekend and got to set foot in Wrigley Field for an actual baseball game, not a baseball game that was rained out. I think baseball is really, I would agree with Connor maybe on exotic sports except for baseball. Because when it comes to bachelor party, you just want to crack open a cold one with the boys, maybe in the bleachers, and hot dog in hand.
Like, I don't want to say they're not dope. It's just like I feel like they could be. You can push it even further. I don't want to say not dope.
But baseball just lends itself to that bachelor party vibe.
Just like that's the all chill. I do all like right. The chillness of it. Okay.
All right. Next one. Connor, this one's right up your alley.
Okay.
Gambling.
Oh, dope. 100%. Once again, the more exotic you can make it, the better it gets. So.
How much money have you lost the past two bachelor parties you've been to via gambling?
Just was 200.
Back of the napkin math here. Yeah.
About $300.
Put it up 50 on red, right?
50 on red. Walk in backwards, but 50 on red. If you win, you have a good night.
What happens if you don't have a good night?
You keep playing.
When has that strategy ever worked for you?
Never. Done it 3 times. I've lost the 50 all 3 times.
It's called the law of averages, Cooper.
Exactly. Eventually, I'm going to hit it, and then that night's going to be huge. That's the night where I'm going to hit that, and then I'm not going to lose the 50-50 raffle at the Cubs game, and I'm going to be loaded.
And you're not miss on any of your superfectas.
Yeah.
Yeah. None of them.
Do you have any advice for just a guy heading to the casino? What should they play? Someone who doesn't know the casino too well.
Craps. Absolutely.
Okay.
Simple. Try to keep it PG, but you're going to get free drinks, and that's the most important part of the casino. You walk in, you sit on the pass line, put a chip down, and then you just roll some dice and you clap. Whenever anybody else gets excited at the table, you get excited. Just start going nuts and like yelling like random things, like especially like college sports, like find out, like, look at the other shirts people are wearing. Just become their same fan base for like 20 minutes. It'll be lit. I've used that word twice already. That's not good.
But there's no rules here. All right, Cooper, gambling.
Yeah, not to. I don't know. Just for your average blogger, podcaster who is struggling a little bit financially, gambling never really, seems to do the trick for me. I will say, though, if you have to gamble, going to the casino is probably at the bottom of the totem pole. Watching other people gamble at casino tables is super boring. Watching people bet on horse races, actually kind of fun. So I can get behind that. But just in general, not dope.
All right, John.
Coming from the second largest gaming market in the country,
I'd
probably have to say dope. I don't know. I don't go gamble all that often. It's fun to go and play the penny slots.
Oh god, I knew you were going to say that.
That's a good time. That's a good time.
You can't do that.
Ever had, and that's saying something.
Oh no. Oh, the penny slots are great.
That's the worst take you've ever had.
You and the 92-year-old women who are living off like their deceased husband's like life insurance.
Yeah, the penny slots are great, and then the Supreme Court might say that everyone can do sports betting now. So maybe by December that'll be a thing. Sports betting.
I agree.
Fun.
Penny slots, I think, fit my budget a little bit. While Connor's putting $10 on the pass line at the casino, I can put a couple pennies into the penny slots, and it'll last about as long.
You get 1,000 pulls.
Exactly.
Yeah. Not bad.
Just so so patently wrong. Those takes. Gambling is dope.
Coming from expert gambler Jeff.
Expert gambler Jeff.
Yeah.
I don't know how to play craps. I got really lucky at my bachelor party and won like $300 playing blackjack. So that's a little recency bias. All right. Next one. We'll just do maybe two more. This one we called competitive activities. So you can fuck it. Like, this isn't sporting events. This is like things you do where you're actually participating in being competitive. Like whirly ball, top golf, mini golf. Connor,
water polo,
absolutely dope. Especially like after an event like a casino. I don't know. Maybe you don't do casino. Oh, that maybe. What do you think about that? What if you do a casino during the day and then you go and do those events at night? I don't know. I feel like that would make for an interesting competition, like environment.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have some people who are pissed off, ready to go because they won. Most people have already had a few adult beverages. I mean, I don't know. I think it's dope, and I think you can just make a hell of a time out of it.
What's your favorite?
A heck of a time out of it.
What's your favorite? Because we've had a couple that have come through in the last few bachelor parties.
Out of the last ones we've been to?
Yeah, what's your favorite recreationally competitive activity?
They were both really fun. I don't know. I have to say I really liked Topgolf just as an idea, like just like as the idea of what Topgolf is. Like I had a blast there. That was really fun.
Yeah. I wish we had access to that video and could put it to our listeners of Connor playing.
Yes, that was
golf during that bachelor party.
That was
Connor cool. Was shooting one timers like a hockey player would with the Topgolf balls coming out of the little hole.
Well, what it made Happy Gilmore so proud.
I also did not break a single club doing it, which is the best part.
All right,
I'm going with super dope. This is, I think, has to be an essential part of every single bachelor party because nothing is better than sweating a little bit with your bros.
Just being dudes,
yeah. You know? Just beating up on them in some physical activity is always fun. Jeff's bachelor party got, I thought water polo was probably my favorite activity.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
maybe got a little too intense. I was actually sore the next morning. Still liked it, though. Dope.
All right, John.
Yeah, this is going to be like the bread and butter of my bachelor party, probably. A lot of maybe soccer and basketball, even though I'm patently terrible at both of them. But it's so much fun.
Oh, so, all right. That tells me what to pack.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Yeah. Cooper's bringing his Kyrie jersey and his Lonzo ones.
Cleats and like
shin guards. No, Lonzo twos. I've already upgraded. Thank you. That's why I have no money to gamble at the casino.
Big baller over here.
You're not a big baller. All right, I'm going to say not dope.
Oh,
surprise.
As someone who is physically less gifted than a lot of other people, particularly in the vertical dimension, I'm the one that Cooper gets the enjoyment out of, like, beating up on. And John, I guess, too, because, John, you're quite a bit taller than me as well. And Connor, I'm really, yeah.
Yeah.
You put me in a room with 10 guys, I'm the 10th tallest. So I'd much rather watch sports than participate. All right, last one. Let's see. Let's do, like, vacations. Destination bachelor parties. We actually haven't had one of these, I don't think, any of us.
Yeah, I mean, so no, it doesn't qualify, like, if you're traveling to a place where the bachelor lives or something like that. It's got to be a brand new location where no one is from.
Cincinnati doesn't count as a destination vacation?
Well, I mean, it's a perfect vacation spot, but no, it is not a destination bachelor party.
Connor.
I'm gonna go dope, actually. I thought about going not dope, but you know, I think it could be a really good time. You know, just getting somewhere new, and that way nobody knows what's coming. You know, just kind of, I don't know, just wrestle around for a couple days. I don't know if that's the right word, but
is that even a word?
I was gonna say, yeah, ask John. It sounds like it's something out of Mississippi.
People wrestle down here.
Yeah, see.
All right, Cooper.
So I'm still razzled by Connor using razzle. Not dope, I don't think. Just not dope. I mean, it really depends on your role in the bachelor party. Being a best man and planning a bachelor party in a location that you are not from or not familiar with is probably one of the worst experiences I've ever had to go through. Also, from a cost perspective, it typically becomes a little bit more costly. I just think there's lots of fun things to do and a lot of creative things to come up with in hometowns, and I kind of like getting that element. I like going to visit hometowns and kind of get that background and that perspective. I think it's fun.
I think in a previous podcast, we talked about taking a camper van out to the Great American Battlefield. This is probably the ideal honeymoon.
Are we doing that for your bachelor party?
I think it works the same for bachelor
parties. Are you listening?
Yeah, I think if it works for a honeymoon, it works for a bachelor party. You just stay there. You get married in between.
Same thing.
It's like a 4 week long thing. You do a 2 week camping bachelor party, get married in the middle, and then swap out the guys for the spouse.
Yeah, the guys for the bride. It's a natural. Yeah. It's a natural transition.
Have the same plan for both of us. Yeah.
I'm gonna agree with Cooper on this one. I'm gonna say not dope. I also enjoy, like, hometown bachelor parties, because it typically lends you to, like, doing some, like when you go to a new city, you're going to do, like, touristy things or more touristy things. But if you go to a city where, like, one guy knows it really well or a couple guys know it really well, you're going to see cooler parts of it. You're going to get to do cooler things. So
you're
I'm all
some really spicy barbecue, right?
Yeah. You might get some second tier barbecue.
Yeah.
That's supposed to be really good.
Yeah. Delicious barbecue. Right,
hand up.
Barbecue
hand up.
The world.
But yeah, I think it's not dope. I would
melt your lips off barbecue.
Hey, Connor, just because you smeared the whole bottle of barbecue sauce on your sandwich before you had it isn't necessarily
Whoa, just wasn't fun. My sandwich. It was somebody else's sandwich. I didn't ruin my own thing.
Sometimes you just need some spice in your life.
Yeah, you know, and I'm just here to provide that to people. Like I said, I'm there to entertain.
Well, you brought some spice to the podcast today.
I'm glad.
We had plans to talk about Boston sports.
I'm really long-winded. Always plan
no,
over
this
for
was
me.
Perfect. We'll do a rain check on the Boston sports. You'll be back on. Connor Pack Daddy will be back on the podcast. We appreciate you joining us.
Absolutely.
Any parting words for the folks at home?
Don't go over two bachelor parties a year. definitely keep yourself in check. That's my bachelor party connoisseur entertainer advice. You'll hate yourself.
So. All right. Thanks, man.
Yeah, no problem. See you guys.
All right. That was our first ever interview with Connor. Hope you guys enjoyed it. We're going to try to do some more stuff like that in the future. If you're a listener, we probably know you, so reach out to us. You're welcome on the podcast if you have something you want to say. Anyway, as we hinted at earlier, we're going to get into some contracts. It's the NBA offseason, lots of big dollars, big checks being doled out by teams. And so we got into thinking about what are the worst contracts? What is the Fire Four of worst contracts? In any sport, you This can be about coaches, can be about media personalities. We're going to talk about the worst contracts in sports history. We're going to do our fire four, and we're going to start. We're going to do a little different this time. We're each going to give our full four. The other two will critique very respectfully or not. Cooper, you get us started.
Okay. My number one is Charlie Weiss, his Notre Dame contract specifically, not the Kansas contract. Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant's two.
Oh, hold on. So Charlie Weiss, is he not getting paid by Notre Dame anymore, or is
no? We're done with that. We're done with that. We've turned the page.
Are we done with that like discussion too? Does it hurt too much, John?
It doesn't hurt. There were good times in the Weiss years, and then there were a lot of really bad times. We went to two bowl games and got blown out.
Okay, Cooper.
Yeah. So Kevin Durant's my number two. Jay Cutler's my number three, and then I have Bill Simmons rounding out my list of bad contracts. Ooh, Bill Simmons ESPN contract.
Okay, you're gonna have to go back for me a little bit.
Yeah.
The Kevin Durant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kevin Durant's like what, the third best player, second best player in the league, depending on whether or not you think he's better than Kawhi. And he basically saved his owner, I don't know what it comes out to be, like $30 million in luxury taxes. Which just kind of annoys me a little bit.
But he kept his team together.
No, he didn't really do anything to keep his team together.
He did. Yeah, they were able to sign Iguodala and Livingston.
Yeah, no, but they could have signed it. Like they could have signed Iguodala and Livingston, and then just signed Durant to a huge contract.
But then they would have been handcuffed down the line.
Yes. But when you're the third best player in the league, you should not be able to be bought for $10 million less than the max.
Isn't that what the players' union is there for, though?
Yes, but especially in a year in which Steph and James Harden signed supermax deals. And James Harden is, you know, getting paid $10,000 every time he breathes. Kevin Durant should be getting paid more. And it's super frustrating. I think in reality, I'm just jealous. But we're going to hide that a little bit, mask it.
You didn't hide it very well.
I know. So, yeah, Kevin Durant
deserves
more money.
I disagree disrespectfully.
Okay.
Jay Cutler was your number three. Yeah, that's defensible. And then
any contract that you sign with Jay Cutler is a bad contract. I don't think there's a good contract you get out of that.
No, just sign
it. If you're married to Jay Cutler, that's a bad contract.
Wow.
Ooh.
Just sad all the time.
He is sad all the time.
And I want to know if he like stubs his toe. You know, is he just like sitting out the rest of the day?
Yeah, is he
like,
sitting?
Is he like, honey, I hit my toe on the door. I'm not doing the lawn today. I can't mow it.
But sitting at the table having a smoke.
But Jay, I'm 8 months pregnant.
He's out. He's out.
Yeah, the equivalent, yeah, would be him. Yeah, just like slinking out of household duties, like get a paper cut. That's a funny visual. I like that. All right, and your number four is Bill Simmons.
Yeah.
ESPN.
Yeah, I don't know. I was just trying to come up with a way to trash someone from Boston. Yeah, I don't know. I just think. Bill Simmons was paid like $5 million a year for ESPN. And I loved Bill Simmons when he was writing for Grantland. I cannot stand Bill Simmons now. I don't know. Bill Simmons' fall has been quite drastic.
Should we try to get Bill on the podcast to discuss?
Yeah, we should. I would love to have Bill on the podcast as long as we're not talking betting lines. But that's probably the only way he's going to come on and talk on the podcast because that's all he talks about now.
I don't know. I like Bill. I think what he brought to ESPN – I mean, not just Grantland, but 30 for 30 was like his brainchild. And
Agreed. But who would have ever thought, you know, 8 years ago that Bill Simmons would be where Bill Simmons is now?
I don't know. He has the control that he wants now. We'll agree to disagree. Bill, if you'd like to come on the podcast, open invite.
I love you.
I'm a huge fan. Like,
I don't love fan. Bill Simmons.
I love old Bill Simmons.
He spends too much time defending Danny Ainge.
All right, with that, John, let's hear your fire four.
My fire four of worst contracts. Bobby Bonilla.
I was hoping someone would do this.
Yeah. Ryan Howard, Phil Jackson, and Alexander Ovechkin.
All right, let's go back to Bobby Bonilla because I don't think a lot of people know about this.
Yeah, I don't even know that name.
So Bobby Bonilla played for the Mets. But in 1999, he waived a portion of his contract to where the Mets would not pay him the $5.9 million he was owed that season. And instead, they would defer the contract and pay it out over the course of the next several years. There was a pretty steep amount of interest associated with deferring it, and the interest accrues each year. And the Mets, in short, are going to pay him $30 million over up until 2035, every July 1st. So they'll pay him $1.19 million every July 1st until 2035.
Did the Mets like skip day one of finance in college where they explained the time value of money?
I don't know. I mean, this
interest
is
in general.
It's a really Mets move. It's like, yeah, we'll get rid of this guy. He'll be gone. We'll just pay him until he dies.
Like, someone needs to just sit down and explain compound interest to the Mets, like, brass. I don't think they have any idea what it means.
I don't think they do either.
Oh, wow, that's awful. All right, your next one was Ryan Howard? Yeah.
Yeah. The image that was burned into my mind from my childhood is Ryan Howard swinging his big overpriced bat and not being able to hit against the infield shift and then turning on a bad pitch and bursting his Achilles and trying to turn to first, trying to crawl to first base while the Cardinals celebrate on the field.
So I understand. I have no idea how much Phil Jackson made, but whatever. I guess he's a bad contract, right? Because he tried to force Garden into a triangle.
Is he a bad contract by virtue of distributing so many of them?
I think that's it's a function of multiplication here, where they paid Phil Jackson a lot of money to do nothing except waste their money. It's like paying a really dishonest stockbroker, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, sure.
Speaking from personal experience. That Ponzi scheme.
Ovechkin's a hockey player, right?
Oh yeah. So the Ovechkin one is kind of like a nuance. I think he's terrible for the Capitals because they can never win. I think Ovechkin's part of the problem. I think when you look at Sidney Crosby, who just bangs his head against the ice and still manages to win hockey games, and also
he bangs other people.
Well, I mean, yeah, he does it too. It must be like a, hey, this is making a really great hockey player. Let me help you out.
Yeah,
Let me make you closer
to the ice.
Yeah, get closer to the ice.
Become one with ice.
Yeah, it's got to get lower. So yeah, Ovechkin's just, you know, he can't win the big ones. No matter how many goals he scores in a game,
it's all his fault.
All his fault. Always his fault, yeah.
All right. My Fire 4 is Pablo Sandoval.
I love hearing you say that out loud.
That one, I need a minute. Sorry.
It's really sweet.
Carl Crawford. Okay, truthfully, I could do like a sub-Fire 4 of Red Sox bad contracts, but I'm going to cap it at 2. Sandoval, Carl Crawford, any white big man who's received a multi-year deal from an NBA team over the last 2 summers. And Joe Flacco. Thoughts?
I mean, I have no disagreements.
I don't know. I mean, Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl.
Is he elite? So did Trent Dilfer.
I mean, he's probably better than Jay Cutler.
He is better than Jay Cutler. I will give you that.
Jay Cutler.
So
I think he's your classic. I think he's what the NFL should strive for, which is a quarterback that's passable. And then you go and invest in other parts of your team.
Yeah, but the problem becomes when you invest in that player who's passable.
Sure. Make him the highest.
I just need to rant about Pablo Sandoval for a minute. I just need to do it, okay? The guy won 3 rings in San Francisco. He came to Boston, got a $90 million paycheck, and got complacent. He spent a year. He spent 2 off seasons not getting in shape at all. He came into the season in supposed shape, but also like hasn't come to the realization that he's a switch hitter who can't hit right-handed. Like I could hit better right-handed at the big league level than Pablo Sandoval. He's so bad that the Red Sox have put him on the disabled list with an ear infection, which is the biggest joke of an injury I've ever heard.
Yeah, Jay Cutler would play for an ear infection.
Yeah, Jay Cutler would play through an ear infection. Jay Cutler would take out the trash through an ear infection. Pablo Sandoval is on the DL for the sole reason that the Red Sox can't stand to have him taking up a roster spot, but they can't find anyone to trade. We'll take him in a trade. So they're going to end up cutting him. They're going to end up eating all that money that they could have given to John Lester, who just won a freaking World Series with the Cubs, and now the Red Sox are okay. I'm done. Thank you.
Wow.
All right. Data.
I'm sorry. Don't know how to console you.
It's all right.
It's gonna be okay. You won a World Series 3 years ago.
Yeah.
You might still win a World Series this year.
Right.
Yeah. First place.
You won a Super Bowl 4 months ago.
I did. That's right.
Get out. Get out.
You know, you guys are the best. You pick me up when I'm down. All right. Let's do the waste of data.
Can I go first?
Yeah, you can definitely go first.
All right. So, yeah, I am prepared this week. I think mine just fits in really well with that talk we just had. I was scrolling through sports headlines, and I found one that says, Celtics process has NBA paying attention. And the article goes on to talk about how Danny Ainge is a mastermind, and he's playing the rest of the league, and he's, you know, playing three or four dimensional chess while everyone else is, I don't know, picking their nose and playing checkers. And that people are really excited about where the Celtics are going. And I was like, this is complete garbage. Danny Ainge has no idea what he's doing.
Wow.
He's got all these assets and he can't spend them. He missed on the two biggest free agents of the year and instead ended up with Gordon Hayward, who's still pretty good.
Hey, correction. Neither Paul George nor Jimmy Butler are free agents.
Sorry, yeah. Missed on the two biggest potentials of the year. And yeah, he's got these assets and they're rusting in his, you know, his garden shed, and we're going to run into like a Nerlens Noel situation soon where you ship them off to the Mavericks for literally nothing.
It's kind of already begun.
Yeah, it has with Avery Bradley. And we're just going to, like, the Celtics are going to continually be almost contenders, and the Sixers are going to pass them in 3 years. So
I think there was a lot of wrong with what John said. But I do think that last part may be just a little bit correct, that the Celtics better hope that Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum become superstars because they lack one. Isaiah Thomas and Gordon Hayward are all-stars, but I still don't know if they're at the point where either of them could be best players on NBA championship teams.
Well, he's not building the team around Isaiah Thomas either. But he was his best player.
All right, we got all of our Celtics pessimism. I thought we were done with it the first half of the show, okay?
Sorry.
Go ahead, Cooper.
My waste of data is more of a waste of space, which is Chicago. No, Oof. Hold on. Not being that serious. In Chicago, we were at a restaurant.
I wouldn't get food there.
I would. Anyways, so going to the bathroom, noticed that their bulletin board had clippings from newspapers from the Tribune, I think. And one of them, a quarter of the board, was devoted to an article describing Lauri Markkanen's development and the hope that the Bulls organization have in him. And at that moment, I felt just a tremendous sense of pity for the city of Chicago, that their hope now lies in a 7-foot Finnish white center. I just felt bad. That amount of space devoted in the bathroom was devoted to Lauri Markkanen.
Sad. John, are you prepared to go like into battle right now?
Yeah, might go for a run later. You know, it's finally gotten below 95 degrees outside. So
you're wearing a button down and a bandana to describe
business
it
casual.
To our
business
listeners.
Business casual.
Yeah, this is business casual along with my Zygomatic shirt. Mm. Shout out to the Notre Dame trombone section.
Hold on. This is going to be Irish. A terrible podcast, but I'm going to take a picture of this and we're going to put it out on the Instagram account.
Oh, really?
John, say it for the people. Get your whole
How's
head
it going?
In.
Go Irish. It's a big head. I don't know if I can fit in the screen.
All right. My waste of data to finish it up is Bleacher Report. Because when the Celtics...
Oh, wait, the whole organization of Bleacher Report?
Are we starting a war?
Not a specific...
Down your dress for it. I'm gunning for him. Let's do this. No, really just people who run their Twitter account.
Okay.
Well, after the Celtics officially signed Hayward, they posted a Photoshop picture, as many outlets did, of Gordon Hayward with Isaiah Thomas and Al Horford and said, the new big three. And I am so, A, no. B, I'm so over big threes. Big threes are so 2011.
Should we devote a couple minutes to naming other big threes in the NBA?
That are better than that one?
Yeah, that are better than that one. I think we can each at least come
up
with one.
We'd be sitting
one.
Here naming like half the league, so no, we can't.
I mean, Joel, Markelle Fultz, and Ben Simmons.
Surprising.
Dario Saric and Robert Covington and Jahlil Okafor.
Are the first two?
The backup
three.
The backup big three.
Yeah, I'm just over big threes. We need something new in the NBA. It was like the thing back when LeBron made the move to Miami, and we need a new thing. Because when you're calling Gordon Hayward, Isaiah Thomas, and Al Horford a big three, we've so at some point we went off the rails a little bit.
I think this is really ironic because I thought the big three came about when Ray Allen, Kevin Garnett, and Paul Pierce met up.
Yes, you're right. They were like the big three before big threes were, I guess people did call them the big three, the Boston three party.
This is Boston coming back to roost, you know?
That's so insulting to Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, and Ray Allen that these group of players are called the big three. And I'm going to leave it at that. And that's been our show for the week. Thank you guys for tuning in. We hope you guys enjoyed it. We tried some new things this week. Let us know what you thought of the show, of our guests, Connor. We thank him again for coming on. Thank you guys again for listening. Let us know what you guys thought, and we'll be back next week. And keep that weather eye out, right, John?
Yeah, keep it on the horizon. Dope.